Hey yo, let's go. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite and the number one anime and podcast show on the internet right now, Weebcast, with your fearless leader, C-Dub. But he's not alone. No, I'm not alone on this this week's episode. I hope you guys are enjoying your morning, afternoon, evening, twilight hours. Hope you got some snacks at hand, something to drink, maybe some tea or water or coffee. As for myself, not sure about my guest, which I'll get to in a second. I got me some water here. Chris, what do you have handy right now for you right now? You got something to wet that whistle of yours?
Yeah, I was drinking the Gatorade. They have like a Gatorade Bolt that is...
It's not like an energy drink.
Kind of, yeah. It's like Gatorade. It's normal Gatorade, but it has some caffeine in there, which I've been asleep like all day, so it's helping big time.
Ah, man, I need that's what I need. I used to try the Kickstart.
Yeah. The what is that? The Mountain Dew
yeah. Kickstart. Yeah, they were pretty tasty, but
it's so much sugar that
I just can't deal with the sugar.
Yeah. They have this tea at Giant, at the grocery store Giant, called Zest Tea. Which I like a lot because it's got like two or three times the amount of caffeine of a regular cup of coffee, but it's tea. So it doesn't make you like feel super terrible like coffee does.
And see, that's what I need. That's what I need. Like as I've tried Bang energy drinks, and I feel like I'm like part one Naruto,
right?
Every time I drink one, because I'm like bouncing off the walls one moment, and then I'm like swinging by myself, depressed because I'm on down on it. So it's ridiculous.
That's a good way to describe that. The first part of that, because it's just all an emotional wreck going through it. Yeah, really, yeah,
everything's just going so fast. Oh my! But it's good, but like. Like 60 grams, like 55 grams.
Yeah, it's just nonsense.
A bottle or a can, and it's terrible. But I appreciate you for coming on to the show, Chris. Hope we have a nice conversation talking about some anime and some I will ask this. I always do this to all my guests on the show because I love to gauge how old.
Okay.
And look, you know, so let's pretend I don't know your age. Sorry, production team, don't get mad at me. But I always like to ask, what was their first anime that they've ever watched? And then I like to try to guess their age.
Okay.
And I'm actually interested in your answer.
I think... Ooh, that's a very good question. It might have...
Yeah, because it's a really nebulous kind of thing. Like, what was what was the first Japanese animation, if you taste it kind of thing?
I think it was Toonami, but it was like... I think it was the afternoon Toonami when it first was out. So that would have been like Dragon Ball Z, and I'm seeing that stuff for some of the first time. And then realizing as I become more of a like, because I don't remember when that was out, but
I can't.
Throughout high school, I started staying up later because I finally got a TV inside my bedroom. Sometime in high school.
Oh man, I remember that.
Yeah, because I didn't have it for the longest time. So now I was able to watch like the midnight Toonami, so the late night Toonami.
Yes.
And then I remember Dragon Ball Z being like a big part, and that's gonna be something where it's almost every generation is like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a touchstone for some.
Yeah, for sure. And then some of the other ones that were like my favorites and that like really stood out to me. Gundam Wing was one, but Big O was another one.
See, I've seen some episodes of Big O. I've never actually completed it or even looked too much into but the aesthetic was always somehow like it was pleasing to me.
Yeah, it's way more style over substance because it's like a kind of like an amnesiac noir story. So it's really cool. It's got mechs if you want the big mechs and the big robot battles. It's got those in there, and then it's got basically this negotiator. He's the negotiator, and it's got kind of like a Bruce Wayne style to him.
He did look like a Bruce Timm style.
Yeah, Batman. But it's, I mean, it's cool. That's one of the ones that stood out to me because it was so different from the other ones. And then, you know, we'll get into it a little bit later, but the Blue Gender was another one that stuck out. And then I went and spiraled from there because it was just something that this was amazing to me. Like, I'm big action. I like horror and violence. And that's...
We're going to get to that because I did not expect that.
Right. But I always went, like, I think most of my friends were going to... Like traditional shonen stuff, I guess. And I was always looking for heavier stuff and more like I don't want to say mature or adult because that just sounds gross.
I know.
But like Akira level stuff. So I was always drawn to more of the brutal stuff. So like Berserk was another really big one for me. When I was growing up, because that had such a distinct style, where Dragon Ball Z should have been seeing bodies explode because of how powerful they are.
Still one of my.
But gripes, Berserk, but... with how strong Guts is, he was making those bodies like cut in half and explode, and all this other. Yeah. So that got to me, and then it just. A rabbit hole ever since, and I've never stopped.
See, and that's, I'm glad, like I said, I'm going to say this a lot, but I'm happy to have you on the show because I needed a perspective like yours. I've had a lot of people, I have a few people on, and they've been younger than me. So when I asked, you know, some of the first names, like Orion High School Host Club, or maybe Darker Than Black.
Ooh.
Being their first, look, which is a good show. Don't get me wrong, I love
that's Black. That's probably my favorite show. I just didn't think anybody else watched it.
Bro, Darker Than I'm not gonna look, guys, and I'm not sure if I said this on the show, but Chris, you're gonna be the first one I tell this to. I saw Darker Than Black for the first time because I mean, you probably remember this. I don't know what I'm talking about. Here, at least in my area, Comcast is the big. What most a lot of people have. But before it was Comcast, it was Adelphia. Before it got bought out, I guess. It was called Adelphia. And they would have this on demand. It was an archaic, just, you know, we could just
watch
different shows. Yeah. And they had an anime section, obviously. And there was a few shows. They had Orion Host Club on there. They had Darker Than Black. They had Aquarion.
Aquarion Evil.
Yeah, that one. That's the one. And I was like, well, and so I watched as much as I could. Because that, like you said, the spiraling. I just wanted to consume just anime as possible. And Darker Than Black, I saw it dubbed, and I was like, I love the opening. I love Hay. I love the cast here. The powers, the grittiness, the police side of it. I was like, I really fuck with this. And I guess one of my first... it would be... I usually say Dragon Ball Z. I would either say Dragon Ball Z or Saint Seiya. I just can't quite remember... Same thing I saw on a tape. It was on a recorded tape my uncle had.
That's awesome.
He was like, "You might think this is pretty cool. It's a cartoon." I was like, and it was the Zodiac. What is it called? I guess Romanization is the Zodiac.
Knights of the Zodiac.
Yeah. And I wasn't really too big on astrology, but I liked the signs and just the mythology built into the show. And I just fell in love with it. To this day, I still put Saint Seiya above a lot of stuff.
I was in the same boat. And because now that we're talking more, I'm trying to remember more. Like, I remember Sailor Moon being on TV. And I remember, like, watching, like, Transformers. I remember being in love with Beast Wars. And that's the CGI one that is just like the worst animation ever. But there was parts of anime that was like thrown into those cartoon blocks. So Sailor Moon was part of it. Saint Seiya was part of it because I remember seeing that on TV, and I was like really into mythology, and I still am. So that was really cool seeing that stuff in there. And I completely fell off yeah, I completely fell off from Sailor Moon because it just wasn't my bag. And then Saint Seiya, yeah. I remember watching and I remember kind of liking, and then just finding something, I guess, better that spoke to me more.
And I think that's the cool thing, and that's why I like asking. That's just it's a simple question, you know. It's talked about all the time on Twitter. You know, what was your favorite first or your favorite and all that stuff, but it is cool, like, what gets you into that rabbit hole? You know, what show kind of just throws you into that world where you just want to, like, what else is out there? Like, what else am I going to like, you know? I do have to ask, though, because there's so much now, there's so much anime to consume on all kinds of platforms. Like, I was watching, I got Hulu again, and I was checking out what anime they had. They don't have quite a big selection, but they have a decent amount. Yeah, it's okay. And I was watching, I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I still need to. And I know people are going to crucify for me this, but I've never finished Gangster. I know I only have
one. Yeah, it was that one was so cool with the aesthetic and the style of it. And it could have done so much more, but they just gave up. I think they had some budget issues.
See, yeah, I've heard that. You know, I didn't know if it was the studio or. Because I know there's a manga attached, which I haven't read as well, and I didn't know if there was maybe was that discontinued, and so they just couldn't do them. They just didn't want to produce the anime until the manga.
I think the studio for the animation studio somehow ran out of money, and it wasn't getting the traction that I think people wanted it, which was very disappointing. And I think Darker Than Black also went with that too, because. They had a first season and like a first iteration, and then they had a second season, because that's what I was going to ask you. Do you remember if you saw the second season or the first
I remember one? The second season.
Okay.
I saw both because the continuation, because it was with the, I can't quite
right. remember. Okay, but you're hip to that. Yeah, yeah,
that he partners up with. But I do remember.
Because it's weird, like on Amazon Prime right now, you can see the first season, but everybody else, like Funimation, all that, only has the second one. So you can only like stream most of just the second one, which is like the Gemini Star. And that's the one that, from what I can tell, that's like the more popular one, even though it's like the worst one.
No way.
Yeah, because that's the only one that's available. Yeah, it's a really weird thing, because I try to watch that every couple years. Because I just love like going back into that world, like what you were talking about.
Same.
But find the first season is more and more difficult now.
That's kind of depressing. Yeah, actually. I'm not gonna lie. Because I mean, do you watch? Have you? I mean, you probably watch some Netflix anime.
Yeah.
I didn't know Amazon Prime had a
So. Once I get into a thing, I like get all the things. So to give you an idea of my life and the amount of money that I just waste, I have Hulu. I had Crunchyroll like when it first came out as like an app, and now I have Verve, the VRV that has
Verve is Verve is so cool.
So I have so that. Good. And then I also have HBO Max I just signed up for. I have Hulu, Netflix, Funimation I turn on and off because...
Yeah, right now I have it on right now just because it's simulcasting because I want to watch some of the current stuff right now.
I wanted to watch Gleipnir, I think is what it's called. it surprised the hell out of me. I didn't think it was going to be that good, but it's getting pretty nice. But that's the only reason why I have the Funimation, because most of the other stuff I can find on Hulu or Crunchyroll if I need to. Mm-hmm. The Netflix shows have been a great disappointment for me. So
I'm glad you said that, because they're either hit or miss. I think a lot. And this is for Netflix just in general, because they have such a large volume. So they have so much, for the lack of a better word, just shit on there. Like, you really have to dig and, like, really have to find something really, you know, I don't know, something of substance to watch. Because they just have so much. And a lot of it's just not interesting. And the same thing with the anime on there. A lot of the anime on
right.
there
just not digging. I think the biggest thing is their originals are all that mix of CGI, 2D, 3D.
It bugs me. It's to this day, it's one of the biggest pet peeves of the 2D, 3D mix mm-hmm. or the mm-hmm. CGI anime. And it's usually with the idol shows or...
Yeah.
Or... And it's just, it bugs the hell out of me. Because it doesn't, sometimes, most of the time, it doesn't
right.
add anything. It doesn't add anything artistic to the
apparently
show.
Apparently, it's just a lot cheaper to make. So, because you're not, traditionally animating the stuff, you can get cheaper mm-hmm. programs and cheaper CGI animators. And now the cost of your show is a lot lower. So, when you have stuff like... I think all of Netflix original anime is somehow CGI based.
Yes, I believe so. I'm trying to think of one that's not quite. I think even Kakeru Gurui
parts. Yeah, one, parts of it. Yeah, yeah. That's
some of it.
That
as well.
Actually surprised me. I didn't think that was going to be. Yeah, I didn't think really that was going to be that good. So that one is probably the more traditional one as far as the animation style, but yeah. Dodo Hetero just came out on there. It was
and
great.
I'm loving it as well.
But the
God, it's the only instance where
yeah,
I can take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because that one looks slightly more traditional, even though it is still that CGI base. Kengan mm-hmm. Ashura is full CGI, and it's hard to watch. The latest season of Baki that just came out on Thursday, that is, it's
yeah. How is that
better animation? The story is the story. It's just fighting, right? But the animation has gotten better over the course of the time that it's been out. So because the first couple parts, it was rough for me to get into, and Kengan Ashura was the same way.
Yeah, when I saw when they were going to talk about bringing Baki back, and I was excited because I loved all the manga incarnations,
yeah.
Son of Ogre, and some of the Baki Do currently out right now, and I just really wanted to see it animated. I just couldn't stomach
right.
it, at all. But I did see a clip. I did see a recent clip, I guess from this season, on YouTube or something, maybe on Twitter, I believe. And I think it was might have been Baki versus Muhammad Ali Jr. I believe might have been that fight, and that looked pretty cool.
I think they really stepped up the production because they have a lot of people watching it now through Netflix. Yeah,
I'm happy for that. I'm glad people are digging Baki though, because it's definitely one of my favorite of the jet.
Yeah,
that genre,
yeah, for sure. And then so. Hulu has a lot of the simulcasts on there, and then so does Crunchyroll. And we were talking off mic, the Crunchyroll and Webtoons, like that is going to be such a big, big thing.
It's such, I don't think people realize how big of a thing this is that Webtoons are going to be animated. This sets a precedent for so many of those works online and Naver and of that name. When I saw that Tower of God, I'm more of a, I don't know which one. This is another, I guess, another kind of a litmus test. But out of the big three, I'm kind of spoiling my what I was going to say. But out of the big three of Noblesse and Tower of God and God of High School, which one?
So
is your favorite?
here's the thing with me, just so you know, I don't manga,
mm-hmm,
I don't
mm-hmm.
I don't webtoon, I don't any of this. Now with that being mm-hmm. said. The Noblesse short films that were out. Yeah.
That's right. They came out, what, three
I
years
was
ago, I believe.
All four.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so disappointed that it was just like, I think it was like four mini episodes or something like that. I don't.
Yeah, it was such a bust, though, to be honest.
It got me hyped.
Such
and
a tease.
Now knowing that Noblesse is coming back, and it's a weird incarnation for me because I don't read any of the webtoons. So. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize like he's coming back as a high schooler or something. It's weird for me, but the Tower of God has been a very refreshing thing. The God of High School looks amazing.
I swear, I'll say this. Chris, here on Weebcast, we do. I like anime hot takes. Okay, I declare that the big three as we know it will never come back. We're not going to get staples like One Piece and Naruto.
Yeah.
All running together, and you know, I'm not saying like those.
But those are the big shonen ones, right?
But those are the big shonen ones that has audiences not only in Japanese audiences but in American audiences as well.
Yeah, those are the big crossover ones that actually made their foothold.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think we're not going to see that again. But I think with the webtoons being animated, we could see a new, like, God of High School is going to be, it's still going. The webtoon's still going. It's going pretty strong. It's not really catering to my taste, but I'm glad people are digging it still. God of High School, once that gets animated, that's going to be big. Tower of God's already doing pretty big. Like, on Reddit, you know, it's usually in the top five or six in discussions. Twitter's buzzing about
it. I'm sure it's getting a bunch of viewers.
I'm pretty sure. It has to. I really can't wait till I don't know where they're going to stop with the first season. But I really want to see the numbers. I really want to see the data on this. But I think it has the potential to be two of the big three right there. Noblesse is already ended.
Okay.
I mean, they have a continuation webtoon, I believe. But it's about a character.
Okay.
And doesn't have to deal with the main character from Noblesse. But I feel like we might be able to see something monumental with these webtoons being animated.
As far as I understand, the webtoons are Korean, right? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Korean.
So, because what I was kind of thinking is that it makes it to where it bridges another cultural gap, because I thought for some reason that there were some Chinese animation that was also coming out.
So that's true. Yeah, I'm not really big on the Chinese animated shows, because mainly there's kind of the CGI. There was one that was really interesting. It was about a professional. It was kind of like StarCraft. Oh. It was a game like StarCraft. And he was a professional player. He did something disgraceful or whatever. I can't quite remember. And then he gets booted off the team. Then he gets back in the game after a few years under a new alias, a new gamer tag or whatever. And he's just wrecking people again. And he gets a new deal and all that stuff. It was actually pretty fun. And I think that was a Chinese.
That would be interesting, because I know StarCraft is such a big part of South Korean culture too. So I think what you're gonna find is that Korea and just doing another kind of export of their culture, we're gonna see another big part of that, because it's not just gonna be their music that's out now. It's going to be,
exactly,
because they have Korea has such a really amazing live action film industry, and seeing this stuff, because you give me all the Korean films and I'll probably watch every single one of them, even the silly romantic ones I'm gonna probably watch, but they have such a big live action. It's cool for me to see that now these studios are realizing that there's a lot of Korean, in this case, webtoons, and I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of other Korean animation, and those stories are going to start coming out, and that's going to be just another, I think to your point, that the next big wave and the next big thing coming out of Korea that's going to take over the whole world, like BTS has and all the other nonsense has.
That's what I think we're going to be seeing over these next few years, and like I said, that all hinges on the success of these series right now of when Tower of God and when God of High School gets animated. I mean, I have a strong feeling it's going to. I mean, Tower of God's already. I feel like it's doing.
Yeah,
it's being talked.
I feel
about
like it's crushing
all over the place. So I really hope so. And to be honest, out of the I haven't gotten to watch all of the current season shows right now. I'm kind of just sticking to the ones I'm really digging right now, like Lumiere and Art and Tower of God and things like that. But once I get to the rest, I'm pretty sure I'm not.
No, what the only thing that that stood out to me, which they've put the production on hold for, is I think Apara Ranma, and I'm probably destroying the.
They did put that is on hold. So is that going to? I guess is that going to be?
Yeah, I think the next thing that I saw about that was sometime possibly in July that they'll finally release episode 4. Because the first three and the style of it, like everything, I'm good with, and I really want to check this out. But it's so far they only have the three episodes, and from what I was reading the other day, they're going to try to get the fourth one out in July because they have to do the full production of it. From what I remember, right.
That's terrible, because I remember when I was watching some of the, I mean, they weren't really good shows, but there were some shows, I think it might have been Smile Down the Runway in the winter, or some other shows where they were halting production and would re-release in the spring for the spring slate, and then they got, you know, production halted again, so I'm like, damn, it's just going to keep getting pushed back and back. Which is interesting. I think I said this on a previous episode. The manga world, though, it's trucking along. They're Shonen Jump right now is, I know they combined, I think, the last two issues to make one big issue or something like that. I know they're kind of slowing down a little bit. But Kodansha, that magazine, I think the young adult Shonen Jump, I can't remember what that one's called, that one's kind of still trucking along. So the manga world isn't quite at the standstill, but it's worrying that there's a lot of shows.
I guess just as a medium, you can probably do the manga with a stripped down production, right? So you just have a couple people drawing the panels and you're good, because you don't have to. I don't know if they're colorized in the magazines, but as far as I know, everything's black and white, right? Yeah, so at that point, there's not much to it outside of the actual story and the drawings of them. You don't have to worry about animating it.
I can't remember which mangaka was talking about this.
Okay.
It might have been the author for Kingdom. Because he took a brief, 2-week hiatus to plan out the next arc or whatever. I think it is back, though, now. But he was talking about just how, he almost prefers...
Yeah.
Doing this work now at home and just sending off, you know, to his assistants, and then, you know, compiling the work to himself to clean up and all that stuff, and then send it back to Shonen Jump. And he was just talking about, I kind of like this process a lot more than, you know, being cramped in the office with all these people and all working at once. And it was really interesting to hear.
I know even with some of the Hollywood stuff, when it comes to animation, if you don't have the gear at home to do it, you may not be able to produce everything that you need to, right? And B, if they have NDAs, then that's going to be harder to get the animation to where everything will be secured and locked down. And I know in Hollywood, if you're a CGI artist, you can't do that stuff at home because of your NDAs. So that's why a lot of the production has slowed down so much, and I assume some of the same stuff is happening where it's either money, A, B, just the resources to do it at their house, and then C, you know, manga is such an easy medium to produce, so I assume that ever really go away. But the animation stuff, once everything gets finally back ready to go, I think that you're going to see a big, a ramp up of everything.
Oh, it's going to be like an explosion of just so much stuff coming out. Another application, which I don't have yet, but you're convincing me now.
Yeah.
Because we talked a little bit off mic about it. And that's we talked a little bit about HBO Max. Now, so I'm really kind of what I know that they've added the Studio Ghibli movies. So that 35 or almost 40 year long history or all.
As
so they have
far as I know, there, I think they might have like one missing. And I don't know what that was. I was trying to read up a little bit about it, but I forgot. But they have stuff like Nausicaä, which I haven't seen outside of a DVD in a, that I have for a few years. They have Castle in the Sky. They have Porco Rosso. Like, that's some of the old stuff. Yeah, Tales from Earthsea. So favorites. a lot of the old stuff. Geez. And then they also have it was Grave of the Fireflies that they don't have on here. Which is a big one. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. That's a pretty big one.
Right.
That's a
but pretty, they have a Totoro. One. They have Spirited Away. Kiki. They have Howl's Moving Castle. Mononoke, which you have to have, right?
Absolutely.
So they have all the big hits. Ponyo's on here. That's having everything all in one application, one streaming service for the first time ever, especially stateside. I'm really hoping that this is going to open the door for more of a cinematic anime to really make their mark.
You're right. Because you when we were talking about earlier, and it kind of hit me, and I just reminded myself of it. If HBO Max really kind of bought in on this niche kind of market, I mean, I don't even know if it's a niche market, because it's a big market, but I guess compared to Hollywood movies and other stuff, I guess it's niche. But imagine this. Like, let's say this October, I think later this year, October, the Demon Slayer, Mugen Train, the continuation, they're going to continue the anime in that movie. That arc is going to be in just one movie, and I think it's going to be releasing in Japanese theaters in October, and they haven't released a date for American audiences. But imagine, you know, once it's got an American release, you can watch it day one right on HBO Max. You know, pay maybe an extra few dollars or whatever, but be able to just watch that, just stream that movie right when it gets dubbed or when it finally gets subtitled and all that stuff right on HBO Max. The Boku no Hero movie, The Heroes Rising, which came out February, I think this past February, I can't quite remember, don't quote me on this guy. It was a very big splash.
And so, you know, they've been doing these very limited releases, because I saw that in the theater, and I had to drive. I think I saw it in Arlington or Alexandria. So for me, really? I had to drive like an hour and a half to get to the theater. But I was just like, this is cool. I want to be able to like support this, because I want more releases.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Because did you see Promare? Because I think that was
of what?
They were doing limited releases.
No.
Promare? What was it? I think it was last fall. I know it was like maybe September, last September maybe. And that's, people who don't know, Promare's the movie
right.
made by the same
right,
movie,
right,
Studio
right.
Trigger, who did Kill la Kill and Gurren Lagann. And they would, I think they had like, they literally only had three showings. They did like, it was just 3 days, and it was ridiculous. And I had to go, luckily for me, it's a pretty short drive. It's just at the Regal theater, so it's not too far, but the fact that it was just 3 days, it amazed me. But it was
packed. I went at like 10:30 at night or some super late showing, and it was packed. Like, and that gives you kind of an idea. And I try to follow I follow Hollywood movie stuff and like movie news for the most part. So like the box office results, I actually try to pay attention to, especially when it's something like this where you know, this is important to me because I want it to like do well because I want more stuff. You know, My Hero Academia is such a like a big release, and it's a really good one too. Such but big. I didn't think that it would have such a big impact because they had the Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super movie.
I see. I did not see that when it.
I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah.
It's been 2 years now. Yeah.
something like that.
December or 2 or 3 years ago, whatever. Something like that.
No.
I don't think that hit as hard as the My Hero Academia for sure. I can't quite remember, but I remember when it was coming out. It got some buzz on Twitter and things like that. But I'm pretty sure it did not get. It didn't.
Right.
It didn't
and
do
that's,
numbers like
that's what actually. I'm because pretty positive. I'm. A couple like generations older, that threw me off. I didn't think that My Hero Academia was like as big, if not bigger, than what Dragon Ball is right now.
Hey man, you're gonna watch out. There's a lot of people, probably your age and my age, that are not liking that, man. You can't. That's sacrilegious.
But I think it might be. And what I'm really really interested to see is. The Dragon Slayer or Dragon Slayer, Demon Slayer, what that's Seems going to like, do yeah. theater wise and like box office wise, because I got a feeling that it could actually beat out that movie.
I'm glad we're on the same wavelength here because I think it will. I think it's going to almost double it. Like I'll say it here first, it might double it. I've been talking about Demon Slayer a little too much recently on these shows because it's just been such a Demon Slayer. Let me just put it in perspective for you guys who are. I pay attention.
Yeah, as much as my friend here, Chris.
Can I call you my friend? Is that okay? All right, awesome. My friend here, Chris, as much as you pay attention to box office. I do the same with manga sales and Takaban volumes and how they're being distributed in Japanese audiences and American audiences. One Piece. Had a 10-year streak of being the top selling, whether it was just the Takaman volumes or just the
which always amazes me because I hate that show.
Which is still amazing. It's not my favorite, but I don't want to get into.
Okay,
it. I talk too much about One Piece, but Demon Slayer in 2019 not only I think tripled One Piece's sales, and then right now, so far, currently within the 6 months, I'm definitely have to do an episode about it. But they've sold already over 12 million units.
That's
and One
amazing.
Piece has sold only a million, only a million. It's Demon Slayer has been. It surprised me how much people are clamoring for Demon Slayer. It's wild. It's like they can do no wrong, and. And I do like, and to be honest, I like the show and I like the manga, so I'm not mad at it. But guys, Demon Slayer is just it's. To be honest, I think it's better than One Piece. I do like it. I edge it over a little My Hero Academia as well, just a little bit in my eyes. I think My Hero Academia is a little too. I don't know. It's a little too tame for me. I thought I want to see more hero. Things I want to see more. I like American comics a lot. Like my favorite team is the X-Men. I love Marvel and DC comics. I kind of want to see more of the American kind of themes play out in My Hero. But I guess that's a selfish thing. But that's just. I mean, do you?
Yeah, like, yeah. Sure, I think just, it's like probably one of my favorite newer shows that are out because I think it does almost every single thing right. Like even some of the comedy that's in there that I'm not a fan of still lands pretty well. And like the goofiness of it still works because they don't overdo it. Yes. So there are some shows out there like Plunder right now that is, if they just took out all their stupid comedy, it would be a great show, but it's not. So with My Hero Academia, I think they do great with emotional stakes. I think that the dynamics there, and you know, your legacy and the themes that they hit are executed on so well that it doesn't, I don't think that they can produce like bad stuff, or even maybe their filler stuff might still be really good. And there hasn't been really that much filler. So
they've really not much.
Right.
And the filler,
for me, that's
like
that's such a problem with like the big three, with like Bleach, and Naruto is such another one. But it, because I don't manga, like I just don't. I've never been interested in it, and I didn't know how big Demon Slayer was until I started like seeing all the other aspects of it, and started like picking up on the idea of this thing outselling One Piece, which has been around forever. And then the other thing too is with me just seeing the anime, I didn't think that it deserved a movie. So
so that was another weird thing, because I was like, why don't we just get another season? It's weird that they were going to continue the show with a movie, because the Mugen arc isn't. It's just as I feel like you could space that out for another 20 some episodes. It really confused me. I didn't know what their plan is. I'm sure that the pacing, or I'm quite sure what studio is actually animating Demon Slayer. I'm sure it's got to be somebody.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Somebody pretty damn big, I'm sure. But yeah, when they announced it, now for later this year, I was surprised. I was like,
it completely threw me off with that. And I didn't think that it warranted it until I started seeing more and more about the manga sales and the amount of people that absolutely love this series and how it resonated with so many other people. I just didn't think it was that popular, and I don't know why.
I don't know why either. I understand it's a good show, first of all, but and the fact that
the manga recently ended. Okay.
The manga recently ended. I'm sorry, and I still, people to the, it's crazy. It just blows my mind. And another thing, you know, a little weeb cast, little fact. Attack on Titan, which has been, the anime I know came out in 2013, so the manga has been running for over a decade. But they update monthly, so I get that. But Attack on Titan has never the closest they got to One Piece, I think, was at peak. Okay. Attack on Titan was like 2014, 2015, 2013, that kind of era. And they got up, I think they hit third. They were behind One Piece, but One Piece was hitting its stride as well around that time. So, at least for me. But they were still behind One Piece, and I can't think what the other manga was at the time. But even then, they never cracked that the ceiling that was One Piece. But Demon Slayer, for 2 years, which I'm pretty sure, you know, this year isn't over yet, but I'm pretty sure for 2 years in a row now, I'll say, that Demon Slayer has outperformed One Piece. Which is funny enough, it's crazy. Not only in manga sales, but in light novels, they're beating. They're right now the current, and at least for the first 6 months of this year, they've sold more light novels as well. They're the top grossing anime franchise of this year so far, and I think they're like the second or third most watched anime on TV screens in Japanese audiences, like right behind Detective Conan and
And Detective Conan, some other has been around kid show forever too,
and it's for a long time.
Yeah,
whew. So they, you know, they got a foothold as well. But I was just saying, the production team is waving the flag.
So I looked it up. It's right now, the production is Ufotable, Fate Zero. Yeah,
that's right. They did Fate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, great. Of course. Yeah.
Which the latest fate, the Grand Beast or something.
What is the latest
it's
one?
It's fine. I enjoyed watching Gilgamesh be actual Gilgamesh. Because they go back to Babylon, like ancient Babylon. So that's cool. All the other stuff, like that, okay. Series is so fucking wild because of all the time stuff. But the seeing Gilgamesh instead of just being like that dick of an archer or whatever he is, but being actual like King Gilgamesh, it's pretty cool. I like it. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check that out. I'm gonna check that out. Because I think the last thing of
Fate
I watched was Apocryphal, I think. And I still need to watch the second part and the third part. I'm pretty sure the third part of Heaven's Feel came out recently as well. I'm not sure if I can buy that anywhere, but I remember I don't know
of Heaven's Feel anything. Like, I didn't even realize that there was so much Fate shit either. That's something that's crazy. Almost like the Monogatari series for me, where
I haven't even touched that series yet. I plan to, but I just need to figure out where to start.
Watch the and release schedule. You'll be fine. It's not anything okay. Like, you can do the chronological stuff, but it is such a pain in the ass to go through all that. And
someone recommended me the same thing for the Fate, but I just did from production, because I was.
But
like,
the story for Fate just gets worse and worse over time, I feel like, and the, yeah, okay.
For me, yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It hit its peak kind of early.
But
you know?
The
for me,
there's
it peaked kind of early.
I think it was Apocrypha that has the Achilles and. Oh, what was I forget his master's name, his mentor's name, but the fist fight in that series is one of the best hand to hand combat fights that I've seen in a long time.
Leash, when I can't think of, yeah, I know what you're talking about though. Yeah. The animation was really nice in that as well, and the music, I always loved the music
for sure
for the Fate series. Yeah, but the production team is annoying me. They're in my ear right now, telling me that Chris, hey, slow it down. I know you and Chris are having a little bit of ball right now.
Okay,
but let's just hit a break real fast, because right after this break, guys, we got a nice treat. We've been talking a lot of retro things. I've been kind of talking about it on Twitter. Some things like Outlaw Stars been really cool. But we got a show that we want to talk about. A show that I've seen for the first time. I saw the first time. I binged it a little faster, a little quicker than I thought it would. I'll say that much, Chris. I did not expect to dig it this much. You can already see the title of this. I'm sure I put in the title in the description, so it's not really a big secret. But we're going to be talking about Blue Gender on the other half. Hope you guys stick around. Refill on the snacks, refill on that drink. Get a little walk around. Don't be too stationary today. And me and Chris will be right back at you right on his own Tweetcast.